God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, that's the way Paul started his letter to the Corinthians. The tone quickly changes. One would hardly expect what comes in verse 10 and the rest of the book based on what Paul says in the first verses. I thank God for you. God has called you to be saints. Together in fellowship and the communion of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He addresses these people, the church at Corinthians, in the most glowing of terms. But you know, and I know, that they hardly measured up. Who were these people? What is their identity? What was their self-identity? It raises the question of our own identity. These days, I hear a lot of discussion about projecting a Lutheran identity. And I always chuckle when I hear that because, first of all, I don't know what that is. Secondly, I don't know that anybody knows that what that is. And thirdly, does it really matter? The question of Lutheran identity arose in a TV program that I was flipping through the channels last night trying to find some way of making this relevant. Which is a typical or usual ploy. But I heard someone who was in a Roman Catholic family, I don't even know the name of the show, was saying, I wish I was Lutheran. They don't have original sin. And the modernized Aunt B responded as a Roman Catholic. He said, well, sure they do. And who do you think they got it from? Who are we Lutherans? I think the world might look at us and kind of scratch their head and look at us like maybe some big dopey Labrador that's kind of always shinning around, wanting to be pet, wanting to be loved or something like that. But we just don't quite fit in. Maybe because we don't know ourselves. We don't have a clear Lutheran identity. Well, I think there's attempts at regaining a Lutheran identity. The wannabe Waltherians. Then there's the group that wants to say, well, Leia didn't have too bad of an answer for this question. Well, then there's the Grabbeites. And then there's the Schullerites and the Fullerites. And God forbid there should be some Schreiberites. I would say I think we can take, you know, have a little bit of a fun with this because maybe we are sometimes too serious about the question of our identity. In fact, verse 10 and following, Paul goes that route. You know, who do you think you are anyway? What is it that you have that you haven't received? We kind of have we Lutherans have a bipolar way of looking. And that doesn't mean exactly the same thing as double vision. We're kind of inherit from Paul and from Jesus two different ways of looking at ourselves, both of which are true. The typical response of a Lutheran to any kind of questioning is usually something like yes and no. It's not yes or no, it's yes and no. In a seeming way of contradicting the rule of self-contradiction or of non-contradiction, that's kind of where we are. We get into trouble and problems when we see ourselves kind of in the middle, or at least when we see some of in our midst pulling in one direction or the other direction. We know we have been freed by Christ and the gospel, but then we spend a whole lot of time tying each other up. And we tie each other up when we present ourselves with a clear statement of our own identity. Take a trip to the International Center. You get a kind of a sense of what it means to be a Lutheran. There's a lot of old wood there in terms of people. And they're stuck inside a kind of quasi-modern building with all of the frills and the bells and so forth with screens on the walls to project something, an image from out of PowerPoint, out of your laptop computer. There's no blackboards and chalk in the place. So we want to be modern, but we want to be also classic. We want to be traditional. We Lutherans have a strong reluctance to leave the past, and we're hesitant to move to the future because we never can come up with a solid answer. It's either a yes and a no. It depends on how you're looking at it. Outsiders may look at us and say, compare us to, it's sort of like an aerodynamics engineer looking at a bumblebee. You know, it's just impossible to explain how we keep buzzing around. How do we fly? We look at ourselves in one way and we say, hey, in comparison, we're probably not too bad. Others look at us and probably think that we're badder than what we really are. And yet when we look at ourselves, we're really not as good as we think we are. So what does it all boil down to? It all boils down to how God looks at us and what we receive from God. And what is that? This is the way Paul looks at the Corinthians. From God's perspective, they are saints. From God's perspective, they have been given huge gifts of knowledge, of faith, of spiritual qualities, and so forth. But there's another way that God looked at them as well, as divisive, pointing fingers at each other, pointing fingers in each other's eyes. It was a measure up to my standards, good as they are, high as they are. The thing is that we can never, ever achieve what God says we are. This comes only by way of a gift. It comes by way of the Spirit. It comes by way of the Holy Scriptures, the baptism, the Lord's Supper. This is what God declares us to be through the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In these few verses, each one of them has Paul pointing to Christ. Each one of these verses mentions Christ in the full title, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where we have to find our identity, in Him. We have died with Him through baptism, and we have been raised with Him. We're not dead. We are dead to sin, and we are alive, and a Christ lives in us. That's where our focus must be. Is this schizophrenic, bipolar, bichromatic? Call it what you will. It doesn't matter who I am. It matters what God says I am through Christ. And that means that we are going to live with this tension for a long, long time until the end of the world. When He comes, we are the church waiting, as the Corinthians were waiting, in hope and high expectation for the revelation of where it's all about. The telos, the goal. Christ, when He returns again, will remove all the ambiguities, all the measuring sticks, all the condemnation, and we will see Him in His glory, but we will see each other fully in sharing in that glory. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In His name, amen.